Kavinsky, let us give our brother Shalhoub undivided attention.
Rather than the actual memorial celebration, as far as speaking with any, to any extent, on the cup, as you will see from my concluding remarks this morning.
Can you put that mic up, little brother?
Yes.
You just want the mic. Okay.
First, the topic that's been assigned to my consideration today has been the cup. And first, before proceeding, there are two aspects in which the cup can be viewed. The cup itself, that is, the chalice, and its contents. Sometimes it includes both, several references in the New Testament. This cup is spoken of as the cup of the Lord by the Apostle Paul in Corinthians. And he contrasts it with the cup of devils. So we see that the source of the cup of which our Lord drank, and which hopefully we all do also, is that of the Father. Now the other cup, the cup of devils, has content. There is something in that cup, and it's usually the pleasures of this life. The good things, as it were, that are available, which, of course, we know lead to perversion, especially in today's current thinking. Our Lord refers to this cup as the one which the Father poured. The cup which my Father hath poured, shall I not drink of it? And yet he says a few words later, verses later, he, in addressing James and John, he styles it as my cup. Ye shall indeed drink of my cup. Well, we see what is intended. It's actually the Father's cup, but since Jesus drank of that cup, and his followers similarly drink of the cup which he drank, which the Father poured. Now, when it says, when our Lord said, are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, we think here it indicates that on the occasion of the memorial that our Lord did partake of the cup which he passed around to the apostles. It is called in the Old Testament the cup of salvation. In the 116th Psalm, I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. You'll notice, though, in the next verse, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In other words, this cup signifies, it's a cup of death, of suffering. And we need God's grace, as Jesus did, to faithfully partake thereof. It's called the cup of salvation. And I will pay my vows unto the Most High. We see a connection there that this cup is related to consecration. A consecration to do God's will. And in the present age, God's will is those who partake of this cup, that they do so, they are consecrated unto death, not unto life, as in the next stage. People will dedicate their lives. Therefore, the cup is the divine will concerning us, whatever may be its content for each one of us. With our Lord, we saw that in entailed bitter dregs from the standpoint of the human flesh. Yet Paul, in Corinthians, his first epistle, designates this cup in the 10th chapter, verse 16, as the cup of blessing. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And as been expressed previously, that the word communion here has the significance of partnership, or to state it another way, it's the common union of or with the blood of Christ. Now, many sincere Christians, God's people, in partaking of the memorial, consider that this common union, they consider it as a fellowship only, as a benefaction, as something which is received. We make a distinction between partaking of and a partnership in. And has been brought out with regard to the bread, the significance of the usage of this word in this particular case, the emphasis is on partnership with Christ, which also includes fellowship, but it's a higher plane or elevation of thought. In partaking of this cup of blessing, we receive benefits from that cup. It is a cup of blessing to us, in that it is a cup of salvation. It has lifted our feet from the miry clay up unto a rock, and where great hope arises. And if we are faithful, indeed, this blessing will be exceedingly abundant above that which we could ever even perceive. But the thought here in the partaking of this cup is that it is a blessing not only with regard to that which we receive by partaking of, being rescued from sin and death, but also it's a cup of blessing in the sense that we, if we are faithful, that we will be privileged to pass on blessings to others, that we can transmit mercies and blessings to others according to the divine will and instruction. It's spoken of as the blood of Christ, the common union of the blood of Christ. Well, the content of the cup on the occasion of the first memorial was that of grapes, crushed grapes. And as has been brought out in studies in the scriptures, that the thought here contains not only the thought with regard to our Lord's death, but that this implies several grapes. It's the crushing of several individuals. It is costing them something. And it carries this additional signification. In Leviticus, as our brother previously brought out, but in another chapter, Leviticus, the 9th chapter, in verse 7, the priest brought a calf of sin offering, which was to be offered for himself, for thyself, and for the people, it expresses. The thyself would be the body members of the priest, the church of the firstborn, the under priesthood. These are all embodied or embraced by the term thyself. Our Lord being spotless, holy, harmless, sinless, was in no need of any justification himself or cleansing from sin. Therefore, it includes his body members who are in sore need thereof. But you'll notice that this priest's calf of the sin offering was for thyself and for the people. It had a twofold application to the church, to the world. Immediately succeeding, as it were, we have, soon thereafter, the offering of a goat of sin offering, and it says that that goat was the sin offering for the people, repeating what had been stated with regard to the first offering of the calf, but not for thyself. In other words, when the church dies in connection with the sin offering, it's not for themselves, it's on behalf of others. And that is why it's stated that else, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he says, else why are the dead, that is the dead ones in Christ, baptized for the dead, not for themselves, but for the dead ones, the world of mankind. So we believe in the church's share in the sin offering, and that the Apostle Paul succinctly and very precisely teaches this thought of participation in the body and the blood of Christ in this age. The cup of grace, which are to be crushed in the picture, which signify death. Blood. Blood emanates, or the juice of the grape. Blood outside the vein indicates death. Inside, it means life. So this cup primarily is not the cup basically of justification, but of consecration, of one laying down their life on behalf of others. And it's a cup of suffering, ignominy, and of death. And the world will benefit from the death and experiences of the Christ. However, it should be carefully noted that in no sense of the word, will the world drink of this cup. The drinking of the Lord's cup is peculiar to the gospel age. And if it's peculiar to the gospel age, and yet the world of mankind is going to benefit from the blood, the death of Christ, it would mean that it has to have an additional signification in order to make it that the world does not become involved with the partaking of that cup. The world will partake of the benefits of that cup in the sense of being rescued, redeemed from sin, but will not participate in the sense of participation. And therefore, it is exclusively offered only in the gospel age. This cup is a cup of sacrificing. It's a cup of suffering. This is not expected in the next age, except the righting of wrongdoings that you might have committed in the present life, but you couldn't really call that sacrificial suffering. The Apostle Paul tells us that Christ, our Passover, has died. He has suffered for us. But note, he says, wherefore let us keep the feast of the Passover. He makes a distinction between the death of the lamb and the subsequent eating that night, where only the firstborn were viable to death if they in any way infracted the injunctions given. The subsequent day, starting with the next tomorrow, was 7 days in which the children of Israel ate unleavened bread. And thus, from this particular standpoint, the offering of Christ in the past would indicate that which he had done on behalf of his people and also the world, because its deliverance will be a subsequent relationship to that same sacrifice. That happened back in the beginning of the Gospel Age, but that the feast of the Passover is embodied by the 7 days of unleavened bread. And therefore, he says, wherefore, let us keep the feast of unleavened bread, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, which has been spoken of previously. We memorialize not the Passover itself, but the fulfillment of that Passover type as it was accomplished in the person of our Lord himself as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There is also a necessity to distinguish the necessity of time involved with the memorial, and this is what we have just mentioned. The death of our Lord as the antitype of that Passover lamb and the subsequent 7 days of unleavened bread. Now, usually, in connection with the memorial itself, the observance of the memorial, that, as we previously stated in our remarks, that the church has a share in this sin offering, it seems that it has become a habit or practice that at the time of the memorial itself, that perhaps undue emphasis has been placed on that relationship of our participation with our Lord, that communion with the blood of Christ, and not the more proper reference that it signifies it is in commemoration of our Lord rather than us. One other point, too, that needs a clarification. It is called the cup of the New Testament in my blood. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul shows that the blood which sealed the covenant made with Israel was accomplished by the offering of bulls and goats, and that the book was sealed and the people blessed in connection with that blood, the blood of bulls and goats. This would picture Jesus primarily, and the bull as represented by the bull, and the goat representing the church class. Being in the plural form here merely means that because there were millions of people involved, 2 million, that there, in order to ensure an adequacy of blood to perform that service, it is stated in that manner. Now, the church is our Lord at the time of the memorial said, this is the blood of the New Testament. And it's for the remission, in two of the Gospels at least, it says it's for the remission of the sins of many, which, of course, would embrace those in the Gospel Age, as well as those in the Kingdom Age. It's shed for many, and especially will benefit those who act properly thereon. However, in one Gospel, he states it, this is for the remission of your sins. And this then makes it more personal, because then we cannot think of it merely as the benefits received of participation in the sacrifice of our Lord, that by being faithful in our consecration, if we're worthy, we'll participate with our Lord in the kingdom. That is not the proper thought as far as at the night or the actual celebration itself. We must needs think of what Christ did for us personally, for our sins. And so, he states, the Master, that as oft as ye drink thereof, ye do shew forth the Lord's death till he come. The Lord's death till he come, not the Christ's death but his own death till he come. And this is my blood shed for you. So we see that the share in the sin offering is not emphasized at the night of the memorial itself. It's subsequent to the memorial. The other days of the year, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, it's at that time we see a double significance to this observance, that it has a still further meaning in connection with the church's participation therein. And so, at that time, our Lord stated to his disciples that it was his desire that after his decease, that they should memorialize his death. And his remarks on that occasion were, "This do in remembrance of me, not of you." And so from that standpoint, the cup that is partaken of that in that night, at the night of the memorial, is to be thought of, the concentration is to be upon the personal sacrifice that it entailed with regard to our Lord, what the cost, as the previous speaker said, of the cost that it entailed upon Jesus' own personal experience. "This do in remembrance of me." I'm finished and I'm not going to elaborate.
Before we ask our brother Shalou to ask the Lord's blessing on the food, I do want to say that provision has been made for anyone that has failed or forgot to bring something to eat. So don't go hungry, please.
Our dear Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Since this is a pre-memorial convention, we desire to express unto thee the blessed privilege that is ours to have had this way revealed unto us. Help us, dear Lord, to be faithful to the example of Jesus Christ, who was that faithful high priest of our profession. We are grateful to thee. Help us, Lord, to walk thine appointed way. In our own strength, we could never do it, as thou knowest full well. But through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and by thy word of truth, all things are possible unto thee. We thank thee for this assurance and for this confidence that thou hast given us.